What with her wit and stubbornness, he knew getting Grace into bed would prove to be every bit as challenging as outwitting the Roman army. Yes, he would savor this. Just as he would savor her, every sweetly freckled inch of her. Grace swallowed at the first true smile she'd seen from him, a smile that softened his features and made him even more devastating. What on earth was he thinking? For the umpteenth time, Grace felt her face flood with warmth as she thought about her crude words. She hadn't meant to let that slip out. It wasn't like her to betray her thoughts to anyone, especially a stranger. But there was something so compelling about this man, something that reached out to her in a most disturbing way. Maybe it was the thinly masked pain that flashed in those celestial blue eyes when she caught him off guard. Or maybe it was just her years of psychology training that couldn't stand the thought of having such a troubled soul in her home and not helping him. She didn't know. The grandfather clock in her upstairs hallway chimed one. "Goodness," she said, shocked that it had become so late. "I've got to get up for work at 6.
"You're going to bed? To sleep?"
Had his mood not been so dour, the stunned look on his face would have made her laugh. "I need to." His brow drew together in pain. "Is something wrong?" she asked. He shook his head. "Well, then, I'll show you where you can sleep, and..."
"I'm not sleepy."
She started at his words. "What?" Julian looked up at her, unable to find the words to tell her what he felt. He'd been trapped in the book for so long that all he wanted to do was to run or to jump, to do anything to celebrate his sudden freedom of movement. He didn't want to go to bed. The thought of lying in darkness another minute... He struggled to breathe.
"I've been resting since 1895, he explained. "I'm not sure how long ago that was, but by the looks of things, it has been quite a long time."
"It's 2002, Grace supplied for his information. "You've been sleeping for 107 years. No, she corrected herself. He hadn't been asleep. He'd told her that he could hear anything said around the book, which meant that he had been awake and locked up all this time. Isolated. Alone. She was the first person in over 100 years that he'd been able to talk to or be with. Her stomach tightened in sympathy. Even though her prison of shyness had never been tangible, she knew what it felt like to be somewhere listening to people and not be a part of them, to be on the outside, looking in.
"I wish I could stay up," she said, stifling a yawn.
"Really, I do, but if I don't get enough sleep, my brain turns to jello and I can't think for squat."
"I understand. At least I think I get the gist of it, though I'm not sure what this jello and squat is."
Still, she could see his disappointment. "You could watch TV."
"TV?"
She picked up his empty bowl and rinsed it off before leading him back to the living room. Switching on her set, she showed him how to flip channels with the remote.
"Incredible,"
he whispered as he surfed for the first time. "Yeah, it is kind of nifty." Now that should keep him busy. After all, men only needed 3 things to be happy: food, sex, and a remote. 2 out of 3 ought to satisfy him for a bit. "Well," she said, heading for the stairs. "Good night."